Check, check, check. Oh, wow, that sounds good. I got the headphones on. I got my levels right. And good morning, everybody. It's Monday at 11:02 a.m. my time. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm Sean Benson. I am your host. And oh, man, I'm feeling fiery today. I feel excited to be talking to you guys. We've had some people in for interviews, and now we're doing a solo cast. Jesus, what great interviews. Elise Bauman and Damon Runyon. Check those out if you haven't. Caleb Alexander. It's been a really great flow of guests, and I feel so privileged and honored when people come here. You know, so much of the part of this show is that I really get some of my favorite people, and also people who I don't know they're my favorite people yet. I'm just kind of interested in them. And then it's like, hey, or we have a certain kind of interaction, but we've never chatted this way. So anyways, it's you know, it's a real privilege and a gift to have these people in here. It's also a real privilege and a gift to be alone, to chat with you guys alone. So today, you know, I've been thinking about this one thing, and I just tweeted about it this morning. And it's a single idea that I kind of want to make this podcast about. I just posted on the Facebook, and some people are responding already. And it's an idea that comes from David Sutcliffe. For me, it comes from David Sutcliffe. Now, before we get to the idea, I want to go to an earlier idea. David Sutcliffe is a friend of mine. He's an actor, wonderful friend, wonderful actor, and maybe most importantly, he rides motorcycles. So the thing about David, I've probably met with him not that many times, maybe 10, maybe 15. Every single time I interact with him, I leave feeling good or better than when I ran into him. Sometimes it can be just bumping into him at Town Motor to get some gear, and it's like, hey. And I just kind of leave more full. I kind of leave more excited about stuff. And it's because, well, I don't know what it's because I think it's a deeper energetic kind of thing. But he's the kind of guy who I feel like gives more than he takes. And if people aren't like that in your life, then I think that has to go. I know for me, that has to go. Why would I hang out with somebody when my interaction with them leaves me feeling not nourished, but like I've been the nourishment? In other words, they're eating at me, but I don't feel like it's an equal exchange. I don't mean every second of every exchange. Sometimes you just give. Sometimes you're the one giving, and sometimes you're the one taking. But at a certain point, that balance is going to be either balanced or apparently imbalanced. And that for me is something that all I can do is hope that I'm bringing as much. Tim Mosser, a guy I used to go to camp with, he'd lend you his car. Oh my God, he had this 3-on-the-floor duster, and it was unbelievable. I remember once we went from camp, which was up at Honey Harbor, and we went, I think it was just down to Barrie. I think that's about a 40-minute drive, if I'm not mistaken. But there were 7 of us, and I think we had to put a couple guys in the trunk. And I'm not sure the driver knew how to drive standard. It was pretty brilliant. And Tim's basic principle was, yeah, just give it back with a little more gas than you got it. And I'd hope that that's what I'm doing, but I know that that's what David's doing. And again, if somebody's not doing that, by the way, let me retract what I said. They don't necessarily have to go, but that relationship has to change. For you, I beg this for you. Do not be in a relationship where you are afraid to change it, first off. And B, the change, if the change ends it for the other person, that's okay. Because that's not a relationship to have been in. I remember with one girlfriend saying to her, you're not very nice to me. I'm actually just seeing this. And you seem critical, and you seem almost mean to me. And I think I listed a couple other things. And I was expecting sort of a fight. I was expecting her to go, oh, you're fucking wrong. I can't believe you say that. Her response was, I know, and I'm not sure I can change. And I mean, I wish you could see my face right now. I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? It was actually one of the greatest gifts she gave me, because she gave me her honest response, which is, yeah, if you're going to be in relationship with me, then this is what it is. There's an interesting way to think about it. In a relationship or in relationship. You know, I hate the whole hippie new agey crap, but in relationship makes sense to me, and that's what Emily and I talk about. We don't have zero problems, but the ebb and flow is in relationship to one another. It's today, it's current, it's what's happening. In a relationship is, we are boyfriend, girlfriend, and that matters more than you in front of me. Or me, by the way. So if I have a relationship and I honor it more than, by the way, not just the other person, myself, if I'm giving up myself to be in that relationship, then I hope I have the ability, the foresight, and the courage to change it. So I believe that some of that can come from the kind of thinking that I want to now get to, which is David's tweet. It's fine. Everything is fine. That's what he tweeted a couple days ago. Let me say that again. It's fine. Everything is fine. And it just keeps hitting me over and over. I've thought about it at least 100 times since. And the reason is because I think he's right. In fact, I know he's right. And I'll tell you this. If you just got raped, if you just got beaten or robbed, I'm not kind of talking to you. There's somebody way more important than me you need to get through that with. So, you know, I'm not being glib here. I'm not talking to that 3% always, but to 97% of you, it's fine. Everything's fine. And if it's not, it's probably you. It's probably not the stuff around you that you think is a problem. And that for me goes to the real simple idea I heard a long time ago when I needed to change. I was dying. Actually, physically could have died, and also spiritually was dying. And I heard if you meet two assholes by noon, it's probably you. If you meet two assholes by noon, it's probably you. If everything's wrong, it might be you. And for me, why that's so important is because it's fine. Everything's fine. Now, where everything isn't fine, and this is something I heard years ago from a massage guy who was working on an arm of mine. The arm I broke while really high on cocaine and challenging a 260-pound Ontario wrestling champ to a fake fight wasn't fake to him. I was playing. I was very high. I was being a provocative asshole, and I ended up with a broken arm. Because sometimes we pay the price for being who we are, and sometimes when you're that little buzzy bee of a prick, you get smacked. I own that. I've thought about that a lot since, and I don't take that stuff lightly anymore. It's kind of why I get so all or nothing about my stuff, is because that middle playground at 3 a.m. With drugs and booze involved, it's actually not a playground is the point, and I had to learn that the hard way. However, I'm getting my arm worked on in Vancouver by this really wonderful healer, and he says to me, you know, all of our pain in this world comes from our desire. And I was thinking, huh, interesting. And the one thing I want to add to that is the idea of also the fear that comes from basically the fear that I won't get what I desire. So it's either fear of not getting what I want or that I'll lose what I already have. That's what I want to modify what he said to. But he's the first guy who introduced that to me in a way that I really heard it, is that our desires cause all our problems. Now, I have a lot of desires, but I always say to Emily, you know, right now I'm thinking about getting a new motorcycle. I got a 2013 V-Strom. It's a brilliant bike. If you're thinking of any kind of adventure tour with an upright seating position, I've never ridden a better motorcycle, and I was prepared to buy the BMW 1200 GS. For me, the riding position, my nuts were cranked into the tank. We talked about this with Damon, but this V-Strom, no. The problem is when I get up to speed on the highway, I'd actually rather be leaning forward into the wind, and it's a bit more fun, so I may go to an SV650. Point is, that means I got some desire. Now, granted, it's based on like hundreds of thousands of kilometers of motorbiking, so it's as much of like getting the right tool for my job, but it's still a desire. I'm still figuring out if I want the black or the white one, you know, if I want the one that's fully fared or half fared. So a lot of desires, like a lot. I don't need a new motorcycle. But I always joke with Emily. I said, you know how you know I'm going to be faithful to you? Because I get out all my affairs with my motor vehicles. And I quite mean that. So I acknowledge that I have a shit ton of desire. And I acknowledge that it can run rampant in my life. And there's a pretty good idea that basically all the shitty things I do, so I'm going to say all the shitty things you do since we're talking, is based off of actually healthy instincts that just get out of whack. So I have love, but when I need someone else who I quote unquote love to behave a certain way, that's no longer love. That's hostage taking. That's control drama. I have a genuine desire for sexual, intimate, awesome contact, but when that gets out of whack and I can't sit alone with myself, so I have to have nothing but one night stands for 10 years, that's like lust, biblically. I want to have enough to eat. I want to be, you know, able to provide for my family when I need such a disproportionate amount because the hole in me is so big and I have nothing resembling faith, then I have something called gluttony. So these things start from a healthy place. And that's where I think a lot of people self-justify their assholeness. A lot of people by noon are self-justifying them being the asshole while calling everybody else the asshole. And I think that comes from actually a good place because it's fine. Everything's fine. You're in a good place and you want good things for the people around you. You just don't have... I don't know what it is. I know for me what it is when I'm in that place where I need other things to be different than they are. In other words, it's fine. Everything's fine, but I don't see it. And the way I like to think about it, a visual image I came up with when I had to get off booze and drugs was, there's, you know, you're looking at me and I'm holding these bars. Like I'm behind bars and I'm like, let me out, let me out. And then you pull the camera back and I'm actually holding like a 2-foot by 2-foot section of prison bars while standing in the middle of the most beautiful field next to a pond where like deer are lapping up water and butterflies are going and that doo 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 doo, you know, song is happening. But all I can do is stare through the bars that I'm holding. Because it's fine. Everything is fine. What bars are you holding? What love are you turning into control and hostage taking? What are you afraid of? Really? What are you afraid of? I'll tell you today. I mean today like Monday, not today like now, because I've got it so good. Today, I'm not in fear. Okay, so I'm speaking from a place where I feel good today. I woke up feeling good. I woke up tired. I needed a coffee. I've got to do my taxes today. I don't have to actually, but I have time to, and I get to, because the sooner my taxes are done, well, I won't get into the whole budgeting thing, but the sooner my taxes are done, the sooner I realize what the difference between all the money I save for my taxes and what I have to pay is. And in the last 4 years, that's been in my favor, hence looking at new motorcycles. Now, I'm not so rich with that tax money that I can't, that I get to buy both, but I get to pay the difference if there is one, if I want to swap out for my affair. So I don't pay hookers and hotels, but I do pay trade-in fees that, you know, I'd probably do better by selling it privately and then going and buying it. But, you know, you only, when you do a trade, you only pay tax on the difference. And with HST now, you pay on a private sale too, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of like things to be easy that way. You don't pay the hooker to fuck her, you pay her to leave. What? So yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. And again, what I was afraid of was that, well, there's a lot of things I was afraid of. I was afraid to actually be seen as I really was. So this really goes back to my childhood stuff. If you really knew me, you'd go away. If you really knew who I was, you'd go away. So let me ask you this. Are you carrying that? Do you feel like you've had such a whatever in your childhood that it's the story you keep telling? You know, do you keep telling yourself that story? And at an age long beyond that story still being true, and Damon and I talked about this, the badge of honor. You know, are we wearing maybe too many badges? Are you wearing any badges that you could actually cut off right now and go, yeah, that's not helping me today. It might even feel like me, but how's that working out? How's that working out to be the X person when all insisting that you're the X person does is make being the person you actually are really hard, you know, because you're living in spite of yourself, not as yourself. And then that gets interesting for me because, you know, let me try and find this thought because I was thinking about it the other day and it's a little bit, it's not complex, but it's, if I'm insisting, well, I've talked about this before, where basically the people I know who insist they're a certain kind of person, A, aren't, because show me, don't tell me. You know, the people who tell me they're a lot of stuff are probably too busy talking to actually be that thing. And the people who are actually doing stuff, they're probably too into the thing to go on and on about it. You know, now, funny coming from me who fucking talks nonstop about everything he does, but I'm actually doing it. And who knows? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not the guy I think I am. I don't care is the point, because again, the people who go around telling me what kind of guy they are, they're probably a bit of a blowhard. So, you know, again, don't be the blowhard, because you're probably wrong. And we'll see it anyways. We'll see it anyways. I've talked about this a lot on the podcast. We'll see it anyways. If you think you're X, but you're doing Y, nobody's surprised. Nobody's shocked when the 25-year-old person goes, hey, Dad, you know I'm gay. Oh, you think, son? Like, yes, yay, good for you. Or, you know, by the way, my version was, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm in a science degree, and I know that I'm going to go to Germany and do, science, biochemistry over there, but I'd like to not do that and go be an actor. You think they were surprised when they're ballet dancing, guitar playing, always in plays while at Western and biochem son decided to do, it was like I was the last to know. If you're an asshole while telling everyone how great you are, you're the last to know. And by the way, let me flip that script. If you're awesome while telling yourself every day what an asshole you are, you're the last to know, because it's fine. Everything's fine. This is the interesting thing. If you meet two assholes by noon, it's you. However, you're actually not that bad. That's the irony, is that if you, I'll speak for myself on this one. When I was behaving so badly while thinking I was behaving well and calling other people assholes, it's actually because I thought on such a deep level that I didn't deserve goodness. You deserve goodness because it's fine. Everything's fine. You're fine. You deserve goodness. It might be hard, though. You might not be used to it. That goes back to that childhood badge you might have. That fear that if you knew me, you'd go away. Or the fear that I'm not as good as I think I am. I grew up in a house where I'd get 98% on a test, and my dad would go, what happened to the other 2%? Now, in my memory, he asked this seriously. He may have been joking, but you can only joke every single report card before your son takes it seriously. Now, you know how much I love my dad, and you know how proud I am to be his son, but I had to unlearn that 98% is a shortcoming, because it's not. Neither's 90. By the way, neither's 52 if the week before I was 42. And this is a key thing, is where were you, where are you? But again, I don't think that can be an excuse. That's the important thing, is to not make these things excuses. Well, I had a tough life, so, and I'm doing better now, so that's as good as it gets. Nah, you know, no, sorry. Or, unless that's working for you. But that's always the question. How's it working for you? By the way, I want to go real back to the David Sutcliffe thing. A friend of mine, Chris Torres, he and I, we were at this group where we were meeting with a bunch of people, and I left, and it was the first time I'd been to that particular group. And I was like, Chris, whew. And he goes, what's going on, man? I said, feel real good there. And he looked at me with this kind of calm, and he goes, then go there. It fucking blew my mind. It blew my mind as an adult in his mid-30s to realize that I had permission to go somewhere good. Period. I was allowed to go to good. I was allowed to not go to crap on a Wednesday night. You know, today's Monday. It's fine. Everything's fine. Hey, got a big fear about the future? It's just Monday. You know, go be successful for the rest of your life today. You can't. What you can do is be a dick for another day because you're worried about not being successful. And now when I say dick, I'm being a bit harsh about it. I don't mean dick, I mean give up today. What are you giving up today for your fear of what you won't have in the future? Because what you're getting real good at is not having it today either. So now you're one day better at not having the very thing you want. So what is it you want today for yourself truly? I don't mean, for me, it's not the motorbike, by the way. I'm going to go look at one tonight. It's not the motorbike I want today. I want to leave a little more in the tank than when I got it. I want to treat myself well today, and I want to go to good today. That's what I want today. That's my hope for today. Dear God, help me not be too much of an asshole today. Give a little more than I get. By the way, that St. Francis prayer is pretty brilliant, you know? Let me understand instead of be understood. Let me love instead of be loved. And again, dear God, can that love please not be hostage-taking? Can my love not be something that oppresses those around me to the point where they feel like they may not want to be around it? And by the way, a lot of times I find that's the case when I'm loving the wrong thing or person or choice. I'm trying to make it right. I'm trying to make it right. So, of course, there's a lot of around it because I'm trying to make X be Y. And I can't. I just can't. And that's something I have to, you know, I have to hope that I can sit in the discomfort of being me, because as fine as it is, because everything's fine, that doesn't mean that I'm not a human. And part of my human condition, and the more I open up about this, the more everybody I know that I sit across from goes, yeah, me too, is anxiety, is uncertainty, is moments of I don't know who I am or what I want. But I do know that I don't want to keep doing the things that aren't working. I have to have the fortitude for that. And if I don't have the fortitude for that, I need to pray for it. Whatever praying is, you know, it doesn't have to be religious. It doesn't have to be to God. And I mean for me, but I recommend it. But I'm sure there's lots of different versions and many that I haven't even encountered and hope to, because I'll use whatever works to keep me going to the place that's good and not the place that isn't. Stop going to the places that aren't good if you know they're good. And I talked about this, and this is really fundamental to this idea, because it's fine, everything's fine. But what I want to ask, or not ask, but talk about is, I think I mentioned this in the podcast once, is I dropped a napkin in my kitchen years ago. And I went, you're a fucking asshole, Sean. Ugh. And it was the first time I heard myself talk to myself that way and realized I'd been doing it since a kid. Pardon me if I said this just in the Damon podcast, I may have. But once I heard myself say it that clearly, now saying it anytime in the future is a choice. And a really lovely friend of mine, Sandra, says, the first thought that comes into my head isn't up to me, but the second one is. So when that thought comes into my head, like, you have to go buy that motorcycle today, the second thought can be, no, you don't. You might, but it might be prudent to wait on it. Maybe see what your tax return is to get it, or maybe get it, but you don't have to. When my thought comes, hey, call your drug dealer, that used to mean I was already there. How about, or not? You know, when the thought comes, call that girl, you know, or not, don't have to. Now, what happens in the space? What happens in the space? I had been off booze and drugs for 2 years. There's not a substance in my system that led me to lie on my floor for 6 hours one day, feeling like my bones were burning out my skin. Because I feel like sometimes on the podcast, I can make it sound like it's been a real easy ride for me. I know I hint and I have a lot of fun talking about my stories, my war stories. And by the way, I hope I'm still creating war stories. They just don't have to feel like wars anymore. And it gets to become tales, you know, whatever. Because life's not always going to go the way I want it, but it's fine. Everything's fine. So I'm lying there 5 years ago on the floor of my apartment for 6 hours, bawling, screaming, literally, by the way, feeling like bones are coming through my skin. This is not any version of withdrawal other than a spiritual soul withdrawal. And a lot of it for me was shedding behaviors that no longer served me, you know, shedding skins. And as I was shedding these skins, I literally felt nails clawing down my back of the old skin going, no. So look, what I'm suggesting you do in probably way too arrogant a way, but I've been there and it sucks and you don't have to feel this way. By the way, if you do feel like it's fine, everything's fine, I hope you can relate, because it's not fine every day, but it is. So again, I don't need to fake smile and go, oh, everything's great. But knowing it's fine, I get to go, cool. So when I think not getting the job's a big deal, but I know, like, I mean truth with a capital T, that it's fine, everything's fine, then it's on me now to have the courage to find fine instead of sitting, well, fuck that, fuck them, fuck the world. It might take calling someone and going, fuck them, fuck that, fuck the world. I just want to make sure my compass is pointed in the direction. So I might have to get through the storm to get to that calm of fine. What the hell's that land? Elysium. Jesus, I can't. Illyria. I don't know. Good lands. I want to get to good lands. You ever been to sea, Billy?
No, but I've been blown ashore, Captain.
Good lands. I want to get to good lands, and it might not be easy to get there, but I want to make sure that's what I'm actually trying to do. So again, maybe two assholes by noon, probably me, but if stopped, who cares? I made a mistake this morning. I was a jerk, and I called other people a jerk. Not the end of the world. Nothing to make sure I replicate my behaviors for another day, but if I stop, can I honestly assess and go, yeah, that didn't work out. I might owe someone an apology, but I'm moving in the right direction. You know, am I moving in the right direction? That's, again, where even in the midst of big mistakes or little ones, can I be kind to myself? And that's another one that I learned last week or was reminded of. The wonderful phrase, don't talk to my friend that way. So when I start going, oh, fuck, Sean, you fucking, hey, don't talk to my friend that way. Just don't do it. You know, if I'm just going, Sean, you're such a fucking idiot, you're lazy, hey, don't talk to my friend that way. And then I get to have a conversation with myself and go, brother, are you feeling lazy? Like, what's going on? Yeah, I am feeling lazy. Awesome. Well, don't beat yourself up. Don't fucking call yourself an asshole and all that. What are we going to do? Let's do this together, brother. What are we going to do? I can be my own best friend. And that's part of it is, can you be your own friend? Can you be your own best friend? Because I tell you, if I can give a little more than I get, it's because I'm my own friend, you know? And it's because I have to give. And if I'm not my own friend, I got nothing to give. I'm only taking from you. I'm the one who's gnawing at you. There's a whole shamanistic idea. I did this shamanistic experience once, and I'm going to get some of this wrong, but, you know, the directions related to animals, which related to needs within ourselves. And I believe that the north was hummingbird, which was music and joy. The south, I know it's true for males. I don't know about females, is serpent. And the serpent can sort of taste the air and has that sensuality. And then to the west is the eagle. That because of its soaring has perspective and also has a voice, you know, a freedom of voice and being. And then the east is cheetah. And cheetah, it devours the bonds that no longer serve. Oh, that's sexy. Oh, that's sexy. You got this cheetah that's going, hey, that's not good for you anymore. And its nourishment as it protects you is to eat the bond that no longer serves you. I don't know, man. That gets me going. That makes me like, and then there's this whole idea, which is, by the way, totally just a homonym, bodhicitta. Bodhicitta. I'm going to look this up right now because there's Bodhisattva, which is, I used to be called Bodhi in high school because I had long hair. And so my buddies would call me Bodhi because I looked like Patrick Swayze in Point Break. I wish I looked like Patrick Swayze in Point Break. Ah, hubba, hubba. But Bodhisattva, Bodhicitta is a real thing. Here we go. So this isn't cheetah. But Bodhicitta is, oh, I hope I can find this. It's a cool thing. The Bodhi mind is great compassion. It's the root. I'm not going to find it. Somebody out there knows what Bodhicitta is. It's a real cool thing. I just can't find it right here. I read it in a book. Anyways, it's that kind of deep, healthy Bodhisattva. Let me look up Bodhisattva. It's an ordinary person. Ooh. A bodhisattva is an ordinary person who takes up a course in his or her life that moves in the direction of Buddha. You're a bodhisattva. I'm a bodhisattva. By the way, if you're taking this ride with me right now, like this one today, we're bodhisattvas, man. We're Bodhi-ass bitches. I am Patrick Swayze today, you know, because we're looking for something that's maybe a little bit like finer, the finery. And that's a beautiful thing too, you know. We can want the finest things in life. I want my Porsches. I want my Patek Philippe's. I want my bespoke ass suits. And I want that inside too. I want the inside Porsche. And by the way, it ain't no, like, well, it's just not crazy that in this world, and this is gonna pivot me into some of the questions I've been asked today. In this world, and I'm not blaming the world and blah, 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 people want to sell you stuff. They put up an ad. It works. Great. Good for those people. They figured out something cool, and it's up to us to be mindful of it. The same way it's up to us to, you know, actually look at what our elected representatives or the ones trying to get elected are saying. If we don't, then we're the loser when we end up with a shitty government. Similarly, if I don't take 2 seconds to get a little media savvy, because look, it's not the 50s or 60s where advertising is such a new thing that we genuinely don't know the effect it has on us. We know. You can look up 30 articles before I'm done this podcast that'll tell you the pervasive nature of it, and then it becomes a choice. Maybe not so much in LA where there's a billboard on every corner, but in my neighborhood in Toronto, there's no billboards. High Park, no billboards. So I can choose to hang out in my gorgeous neighborhood and go to High Park, or I can choose to go cruise the strip with the billboards or online internet shop, whatever, which, you know, it's, I don't mind. Look, since the internet showed up, I'm going back to the late 90s for me, I've never assumed that I have privacy. Now, again, this is where I get a bit right wing on this shit, is I'm not doing anything wrong these days. I'm paying my taxes. I'm paying the right amount. I get a lot of great, legitimate write-offs, so I'm not going to not use those, but I'm paying my taxes. I'm not doing or dealing drugs. I don't even goddamn speed anymore, and you've heard me talk about that, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'm probably being surveilled, or I'm sure an email of mine has been randomly read, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I just assume it's happening. I really do. What I don't assume is that my friend, when we have a one-on-one conversation, is betraying my confidence. But do I assume as I'm walking down the street that I'm not somehow being seen, even if it's the simplicity of somebody in a building on a floor way higher than me seeing me? A bit c'est la vie. You know, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying the government gets to have these powers. I'm just saying that I'm not doing anything that makes it a big deal for me. And some people are. A little bit Jack Bauer, you know? A little bit Batman when he kind of, you know, Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine get all disappointed in him. And it's like, yeah, I don't think he made the wrong choice there. But in any case, as we pivot into this idea of like what's out there socially and what's pervasive for us, it can be, you know, sort of hard in that world to not feel less than, to not feel fearful. And by the way, this goes to where I started with this 3 minutes ago, to not feel like that's the answer, the external Porsche. because these ads are gorgeous. They're great. I take photos for posters and things like that. I know you're designing it to have an impact. You're not designing it not to. I remember one day when I was trying to get off Coke, describing to my buddy Eric, I was like, yeah, but it feels so like good and it's hard. And he goes, it's designed to be good and hard to get off of. And it was like, oh, right. Of course it is. Like, nobody's taking E because it sucks. You know, it's called ecstasy for a reason. It's designed to be ecstasy. And Porsche posters are designed to make you want the Porsche. That's why, for me, the last thing I'm going to do is go to God, is go to my internal Porsche. Or, in a more sort of clever metaphor, I got to be the mechanic of the internal car. I got to be the one who builds the internal Porsche. I'm not just going for the internal Porsche. I have to be the internal Ferdinand Porsche, the architect of the beauty, of the goodness. And that's the harder part, right? It's actually easier to just go buy a car, maybe go in debt a bit, than it is to go, yeah, maybe the car, maybe not the car. It doesn't matter. What matters is the internal thing. Brooklyn Doran. Okay, here's a long one, and don't feel like you need to answer because I know you've talked about the subject quite a bit. Kind of. I read your question already, and not really. We haven't addressed what you're asking entirely, although I just kind of segged into it a bit. Increasingly, the music entertainment industry is pointed towards social media in terms of getting work. Absolutely. Getting booked seems sometimes to be more fixated on having a large online reach than what I'm actually putting into the art that I'm making. Most definitely. When I know that people are measuring my success by likes or view counts, I tend to end up measuring myself the same way. And Brooklyn, how could you not? You talk a lot in your podcast about finding balance. I guess my question is, how do you find a balance between playing into the hustle of marketing yourself and your work and not falling into the trap of putting too much importance on it? I want to be heard, but for the work I'm making, not just for the sake of making noise. Brooklyn, God bless you. By the way, look up Brooklyn Doran's music online on YouTube. Let me check right now. She's got a song called Lansdowne, and she's got lots of wonderful songs. This one in particular, I find it so beautiful and moving. I live over that way in Toronto, and she's really captured something like poetic and beautiful and special with it. So do yourself a favor. I'm going to post this video right now as part of the link. And in any case, Brooklyn, you know, I'd love to have just the answer for you because that would mean I'd have it for myself. It's a bit of an ebb and a flow, and so much of it goes to what we're talking about is that it's fine. Like, everything's fine today for you and for me. So then what it becomes is, what do I want to do? And my brother and I have talked about this, and I talked about it on the podcast before. They did like PhD type researchers did studies on decision making, and there is no better or worse choice when there's no obvious better or worse choice. What I mean by that is the better or worse choice is the one you can get behind. So to use my dumb motorcycle thing again, does it matter if I have the new bike or the old bike? No. Which choice can I get behind? That's kind of it. And so my suggestion for you to find your balance is to make it your own experiment. Like, have fun with it. So go, okay, I acknowledge that I like likes. Do I really like likes? I don't know. I'm human. Of course I like likes. But do I really care about like online likes from strangers? Well, those are the fans, right? Now, are they really fans if they're just liking my Instagram page? Who knows? But that to me is getting a bit semantic. So today, this week, I'm not going to post anything. This week, I'm just going to work on the music, and the only thing I'm going to post is actual musical content. And I know, Brooklyn, what I do sometimes is I go, and only stuff that's going to make me money, either like it's a seed for money in the future, because this is a business, right? Like, you're a musician who deserves to be paid. So do my likes conceivably equal that? And if they don't today, what could most move me in the direction I want? And again, I get to kind of have fun with that because there is no one answer. So I always say the thing that's going to make me the movie star I think I should be is the thing that makes me deserve to be there because I haven't done it yet. And if I want stuff I've never had, I have to be willing to do stuff I've never done. But the great lament from all of us is, well, what is it? If only I knew. Well, especially with your question and what you're talking about is, I know you. If you knew it, you'd just go do it. So would I. So would all the people to whom I'm saying it's fine. Everything's fine. Sometimes we don't know the next step. So for me, that becomes about what I get to do, not what I have to do. You don't have to like Seek. You get to, or not. And that's where it all becomes sort of a fun experiment. Today is the next page in the best novel you've ever read called Your Life. Read it with excitement. Read it with, what's going to happen? Oh my God. No, no, no. Don't go right. Go left. Ah, you know, that kind of thing. And then you can tell me the answer. Now, in terms of balance, we basically, I think, have been talking about this for the last half hour, which is, it's fine. Everything's fine. And when it isn't, what am I putting between the fineness and myself? Do I need a therapist? Do I need a friend? Do I need to open up more to a friend? Let me tell you another story about my dad. I always felt like my dad was a bit disingenuous, that he told me he was the kind of guy he wanted me or to be himself as opposed to the guy he was. This was a feeling. It's not a fact. And I remember one day going, you know, I don't feel like my dad tells me the real story. And then one day, just like when I dropped that napkin in the kitchen, my dad said, hey, how'd the week go? And I was like, good, really good. And he's like, oh, what's going on? Oh, you know, I had some good auditions and I got some headshots coming up. It's good. I'm busy. I just did the very thing that I blamed him for doing. I gave him the cursory, highlighted, totally bullshit, I don't even know you kind of answer. And I stopped myself and I went, actually, I'm tired this week. I'm a little frustrated. Things aren't going the way I want. You know, I don't know. I don't remember the week exactly, but I told him the truth. Well, guess what? Since then, my dad and I tell each other what's really going on. What do you know? I got to be the change. Both of us were wishing the other would offer more. And in my moment of realization, I was like, oh, I get to offer a bit more in this relationship. So maybe there's a friend I need, not just a therapist, to whom I'm a little more honest with, that kind of thing. So I know, Brooklyn, that I'm not really talking about work because it's not about work. Work's a byproduct for me. Work's the thing for me that gets to happen as a result of a good life. It doesn't happen and then I have a good life. That was a really hard lesson for me to learn because I always put the idea that once I get, and by the way, once I get, then I'll be, is the root of so much of the evil of, well, it's not fine yet. Well, easy for you to say. Why? Why is it easy for me to say? I don't like to talk income, so I won't, but I promise most of you in the month of April, let's say, know what you're making, and I promise that you know you're making more money than I am. Promise it. Doesn't mean I might not end up, but the point is so why would that be easier for me to say if money's important, if this is that's important? It's fine. Everything's fine for you and for me. I find, Brooklyn, that when I hustle too much, I'll use a fighting analogy. The more I'm just throwing punches, the more open I am to getting hit. You know, so for me, the balance is knowing when to punch and knowing when to block and knowing when to not even fight, by the way, time off. Because sometimes if I'm just blocking, then there's no way to be effective. So if I'm never putting myself out there and if I'm never admitting I want likes and if I'm never looking at the reality of the industry, then I'm just blocking and I can never win. If I'm never fighting, well, maybe that thing isn't for me and that's fine, but I don't see you quitting being a musician. And if all I'm doing is punching, like I say, I could get an early knockout, but man, I've been promoting online a lot because of Barn Wedding and I've been promoting a lot because of the podcast. And these are self-sufficient things, right? Like nobody, I don't have a studio behind Barn Wedding. So how much I promote it and also our team, like the people who made it, is how much you know about it. Same with the podcast. Nobody cares this exists. Other than me, and hopefully you. So please share it if you love it. Share it, love it, share it, love it. Fresh. That was just me, by the way. That wasn't a sampler. I know my talents never cease to amaze you. I was going to do some freestyle rap earlier, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Here we are kicking it on the podcast. We hope it's going to last past 2:15. We're going to kick it with Jive. Can you say Jive? Can I say Jive? Is that... So, Brooklyn, you're not going to stop playing music, so... You kind of have to find the balance between punching and blocking. Because when I'm promoting Barn Wedding in my podcast and I'm all over Facebook and Twitter, I'm also that much more susceptible to, oh, that person booked that part I auditioned for. Fuck this. Fuck the biz. Fuck everybody. That guy sucks. Those producers are assholes. What? No, I don't feel that way. I don't actually feel that way. But I've just made myself very vulnerable by extending myself and needing what this little machinated version of society offers. So again, I'll just wind up with this, Brooklyn. For me, the real balance comes in face-to-face contact. Hanging out with actual people. Hanging out with actual people. Looking them in the eye. Laughing with them. And preferably some Emily and I were talking about the mall today. One of our favorite things to do is to go to Yorkdale Mall. And we were laughing about it because Emily brought it up this morning. She said it so beautifully as she woke me up with kisses. She said, I wish we could go to the mall today. And she goes, you know, I love that, like, that's the place where no one we know goes. I don't mean you might not grab something there at Christmas, but like, we're so fucking artistic, it hurts. Like, I'm going to see 3 plays this week and the movie I produce, you know, blah, 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 and the music I make and the whatever. But one of my greatest desires is to disappear with my girlfriend into absolute retail, and not even just retail, chain retail. Like, you know, you just walk in circles in a mall. God, I love it. And it's so antithetical to everything else I talk about, but it's so not, really. You know, what's your mall? maybe with somebody. Brooklyn, that's a real long-winded answer, but I love the question because I don't have the answer. I certainly don't. I can tell you that today I feel very balanced. It's all about the it's fine, everything's fine. And again, why am I dedicating a whole podcast to one idea? Last week, I got a call, hey, you got the part. New project, one I haven't talked about. I won't say what. Because someone else is going to get that part and I don't want them to think they were second choice. Hey, you got the part. Okay, great. What show again? Because I'd forgotten I auditioned for it. Why? Because I hadn't been staring at my phone every hour the way I have in the past, hoping the call comes. So that was a beautiful thing for me. That was a moment where I went, wow, since I auditioned for that thing a week ago, I've actually let my life happen. Instead of pausing my life hoping, by the way, if you're texting someone or phoning someone and you can't fucking hang out with yourself and do what you're doing without checking your phone until they call or text back, problem. Like, sorry, that's a problem. No wonder you don't think everything's fine. You can't sit with yourself for all of 9 minutes without checking your phone to see if someone immediately responded to your text. If you text someone and they don't respond and it's not an emergency and you text them again, not just a problem, but now you're controlling. Now you're exerting your fear on another person. Think about it. Look into it. Chill out because it's fine. Everything's fine. And by the way, in my experience, when I'm exerting that much fear-based existence, even when I get what I think I want, it doesn't feel the way I thought it would feel. Let me say it again because I like the sound of my voice on that one. Actually, I'm going to drop my voice a bit. Even when I get what I think I wanted, it doesn't feel the way I thought it would feel. So now I've just put myself in a further cycle of, oh, if only then. Because, oh, it must not. Oh, by the way, guess what? Then it must be the other person's fault. So when I, you know, control my way into the situation and then I get what I want in the situation and it doesn't feel as good as I thought it would feel, well, that couldn't be my fault. So it must be this person or this job or this thing. So yeah, if I sound harsh on that, I'm harsh because I've been there and I didn't like myself in that place. And when I'm dealing with other people's versions of that, I don't like it from them either. Period. What can you say? Damon Runyon, what's the best way to change a bad habit? How do you stay the course? Oh, Damon, love you, brother. Don't. Okay. I really can't answer this for anyone but myself. The best way I've ever changed bad habits is twofold. A course of action with which I replace them with new habits. Because I'm just a lonely, scared guy. And if I don't have something in place of the booze, the drugs, the sex addiction, the shopping addiction, the wanting, then I'm just going to end up, you know, there's studies that basically show that I'll get the parts of the brain wrong, but there's like my snake brain at the base of my skull. And then there's the, you know, frontal stuff, which is pretty logical, reasonable, and advanced. And when my anxiety and fear and all that stuff starts to kick in, it actually short circuits my frontal cortex. So what it does is it short circuits my highest and best thinking, and my snake brain takes over, and all it wants at the expense of all else is relief. It's fine. Everything's fine. But I hope you're listening, everybody, to what I'm saying here, even if I have the science a bit wrong. You think you're a smart person. You think you're a capable person. You think you have willpower, but it's all your thinking, which goes, by the way, to the fact that you're probably wrong. Because when push comes to shove, you have a snake brain. And your little reptilian thing at the back goes, I'm in pain. I'm in anxiety, which is equivalent to pain. Anxiety is real. It's real pain. And so while you're thinking that you can deal with it on your own, you're actually short-circuiting yourself. And in that short-circuiting, boom, frontal cortex shuts down. You need the thing that will ease the pain. Give me the heroin. Give me the girl. Give me the text or the like. Oh, I said it. Oh, I brought it round. Oh, I threw it down. That wasn't freestyle. That was sort of a pastiche of different styles. Fresh. Wicked. Booyakasha. Does anyone remember Booyakasha? I'm basically setting myself up for failure when I think I have the willpower or the skill because of other things. So for me, I have a black belt in karate, and I thought that everything I had to do to get that and the degrees since meant that I had willpower and I had blah, blah, blah. Well, I do, just not in relation to alcohol or drugs, me, Sean. Now, for some of you, I promise you're creating routines for yourself where that's in relation to the response from the female or the male or the text or the like or society or the Facebook page. It's just, it's not arrogant for me to say it. It's right. I had to train myself to stop using Facebook. Train myself. I had to replace it with something. Lately, for me, it's the gym, Damon. I'm kicking ass at the gym because I want to get lean for a role. Now, I don't even know if I'm going to watch the footage because the scene's not good enough for my demo. You know, whatever. I tend to watch some of my stuff when I can use it for the demo. I'm doing it for me. So I feel good and confident on the day. So I'm replacing X with Y. But the other thing for me, brother, is faith. I had to find a belief that today, just today, was enough. And that's faith, right? Because everything I'm talking about today is fear based on kind of not getting what I want or losing what I think I have. And by the way, you don't have anything, people. Sorry, you don't have anything. You're gonna die. It's just a bunch of shit. Your parents are going to die. Your kids are going to walk out the door. Your girlfriend might cheat on you or leave you. Your boyfriend might. We don't own anything. We're just stewards of today. So pass today on to your tomorrow self. Take good care of your today and give yourself the gift tomorrow. Be your own child. Self-parent. And go, I'm going to give my tomorrow self the esteem, the goodness of a good life today. Don't give them fucking nuclear waste, you. Don't give yourself nuclear waste tomorrow. Now, again, that sounds like I'm saying that, Damon, don't fucking. It's like, do whatever you want. But I know that I can pretty much do anything for one day, you know. And then what I need to do is get honest with the rewards of it. Like, when I wake up, for me, and I didn't drink the night before, and not only do I get the fact that I didn't miss work, I didn't cheat on my girlfriend, I didn't put all those calories in my body that I've worked so hard to burn off. So that's the, I get the plus one of that, but it's more than plus one because of what I've talked about a lot, which is the self-esteem. But I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. I cannot do it alone. I need a God, small g, and I need friends and a community and a bunch of numbers in my phone. And again, this is just for me, Damon. So the best way I can change a bad habit is not only to like try and stop the thing, but I have to replace it with other things. In terms of staying the course, part of it is what I said. I have to be honest and go, wow, I got a plus two there. Now, again, when my snake brain's taken over, plus two is meaningless. So for me, the first thing I had to do, and again, it's fine, everything's fine, but if you're out there and you don't feel like it's fine, I couldn't go to birthday parties or bars unless I was with my band and my bandmates knew I was kicking booze and drugs, so they made sure I didn't drink for about 6 months. If you think you're strong enough to put yourself in the eye of the tornado, you're probably going to end up being swirled around by the tornado and go, what the fuck? We need to be reasonable about this stuff. If I can't go to a bar without getting drunk, at least most of the time, then I shouldn't maybe go to bars. Hang around a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. So now where my ego kicks in is, hey, I can handle it. Nah, I know. I'm a tough guy. I can handle it. No, you can't. Sorry. If you have an habitual approach to something that is has shown itself to be deeper than reason, that's your snake brain winning. And you can't put yourself in the situation. Like, you can't. Not until some real healings occurred. And I know that sounds like for me, I'm playing in a rock band. I'm down at the Viper Room playing a show after I've been off booze and drugs for about 2 months. So I'm on the Sunset Strip at the Viper Room, and the last time I'd been there, I had a bottle of Dom Perignon in one hand that I was drinking with the band, and I had loaded needles in the front pocket of my coat. That's the last time I was in that environment. And then, like 6 months later, I'm in the new environment, but it's not a new environment. It's the same environment. It smells the same. There's music that sounds the same, but I got a show to play. So I called somebody right before the show and I said, whoa, this is intense. I didn't realize this was it. And the person said to me something beautiful. He said, you can leave. What? Well, you know, the band, this and that. Is the band more important than you disappearing for a week down Sunset Strip? And again, that's my ego. My ego thinks I'm so important. And it's like, well, yes, I am on the one hand because I got to get healthy. I got to be healthy so that I can leave more in the tank than when I got the car so that I can ultimately be that kind of person, I hope. But that's never going to happen if my momentary ego is, hey, I got this. No, 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 I got this. No, I'm strong enough for this. No, you're not. No, I wasn't. So then the guy said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go back in, I'm going to play the show and leave right after. And he said, great, maybe throw out a little prayer. Ask God to get you through it, or ask whoever. So I did, and then I said to my bandmates, guys, please just, you know, keep an eye on here, and I'm out right after. They're like, great, we got you. They did, and I left. Worked out. A lot of things had to happen there. What didn't happen, Damon, is me just standing there going, I got it. No, I'm good. No, 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 I'm fine. All good, guys. Nah, what, you guys want to stay after? Yeah, yeah, good, I'm in. Because I can handle it. No, I can't. So that's part of the humility. Humility, big word. Wow, I can't believe I haven't mentioned. I don't even think I've said that on the podcast yet. Humility. I had to have the humility. I had to be a small enough man in a good way. Be a small man. Don't be a big man. I had to be a small man and go, I don't have this. I don't think I can do this. Help. And here's the key. And this, I'm going from your question off into the big picture. When you ask for help and then you don't take it, you're kind of an asshole. And the reason you're kind of an asshole, and I always say that in my podcast, and obviously I'm being harsh with it, here I'm telling you everything's fine and calling you an asshole every second, is, hey, I'm having trouble with this. Can you show me how to do it? Sure. Blah, blah, blah. Well, no. Well, fuck you then. Why did you ask? Did you ask to hear yourself ask the question and spiral in your own thing? And again, Damon, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying it to that thing in me that kept asking people for help. And when they said, oh, just try this, I'd be like, well, that's not quite what I meant. Sorry, what did I mean when I was asking somebody else's solution when I had none? But I was unwilling to do what they were suggesting because I had it. I got this. I was talking to hear myself talk. And so that fucking rage and anger you hear in me, that's not at you, folks. That's at my young self that spent so long with things not being fine, even though they were, but I was holding those bars while the butterflies were just behind me. But I wouldn't, some of the advice was, hey, drop the bars. Well, yeah, easy for you to say, because that's what I had, you know. Nothing I'm saying came by easily, by the way. Simple, not easy. But it's only my experience. I haven't found it not to be true, though. The more and more I encounter people like David, I have no idea his story, by the way. I have no idea his journey to this. And he could listen to this podcast and go, yeah, 90% of what Sean just said is absolute bullshit. I'm not asking for you to think he's somehow co-signing this. He said one thing. It's fine. Everything's fine. And he's a good guy to be around. That's my springboard for everything I'm saying that comes from my experience. So take it or leave it. But I promise you this. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's all good. It's all good. Today is fine. Today is sunny as fuck in Toronto. Do I not get to drive my Porsche or ride my motorbike today? No, I can do both. Is it ideal? Did I hope when I woke up that it was going to be minus 11 feels like minus 18? No, I saw the sun and I thought it was going to be plus 5. So did I get what I wanted today? No. That acting job that came my way, it's gone because it conflicts with another one I'm doing. So I get a phone call, you got the job. Good. I want the jobs I auditioned for. Then I say, by the way, that conflicts with a certain date. Both projects neither can compromise. I'm committed to the one. I lose a pretty good job that would have lasted many episodes. But I didn't lose it because I never had it. Now, I know that sounds weird, but the papers were never signed, so I never had it. That night at dinner, Emily said, hey, I'll buy you dinner to congratulate you for your role. I said, I don't have the role yet. I didn't have the role yet. I didn't lose anything. And that goes back to the idea of if I don't get what I want, it's not the same as someone wronging me. So be real. And by the way, that's usually when I'm that noon asshole, is when I'm confusing those two. There's lots of things I want, but the world's not against me if I don't get them. Plain and simple. And the weather, by the way, for a guy who moved back from California is the most perfect example of that. Try coming from a place that's sunny and 72, 320 days of the year. When you just get to know the next day, by the way, this is why I got good at photography for lighting, because in LA, I didn't have to be. As long as I was shooting between 10 and 2:30, I had a spot where the light was perfect. I never had to cancel a headshot. I move back here, I find a spot with good light. Client comes the next day, light's not good. We got the cloud, we got the rain, we got the shifting shadow. It's different up here. By the way, it's more beautiful up here. Sorry, Cali peeps. Sunny 72 all the time. Ain't it for the Benz, he says, while dreaming of going out to Willow Springs this weekend. I love you guys. I love this. Maybe this is conceited, maybe it's humble, maybe it's rambling, maybe it's meaningful. I don't know, but I need to say it out loud. And I just want to say thanks to David. You know, follow his Twitter, by the way. You won't regret it. I just need to check the exact handle. Follow meaning. Follow good. Don't go to bat. At Sutcliffe David. At Sutcliffe David. Check it out. Follow him. You're not going to regret it. The one thing I know about his stuff is that it's grounded. It's not grinning through teeth. It's not all good because some days aren't all good, but they're fine because everything's fine. I love you guys. Please spread the word, share the word. Man, did we climb the charts the last couple weeks on the podcast. I don't know where we're at today. I haven't checked it, but we were up at like number 9 in comedy for a while there. I have it under comedy. Yeah, because this has been so funny. Ha, 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 ha. You so funny. Ha, ha, ha. Not, I don't know, comedy scene. I thought it would be a funnier podcast when I started it. It's funny to me. No, the, well, apparently it really is funny to me. We're doing great here. So keep the drive alive and keep those questions coming. It's the best. Brooklyn Doran, love your podcast. P.S. Ooh,
thanks, Brooklyn. Good timing on that post.
Makes commuting to work 100% more enjoyable when I've got intelligent and entertaining discussion to chew on. Oh, I'm going to give you something to chew on, girl. This is Chatting Between Takes. I'm Sean Benson. Thanks for joining me. And that's a wrap.